Today's presenter is Epoch Shah. Epoch works on IBM Support Assistant Deployment Team. In this capacity, he is responsible for deploying and promoting all AIM product add-ons to IBM Support Assistant. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Epoch.
All right. Thank you, Elijah. I would like to welcome you all for the demo today. And starting off with slide two, here's the agenda for today. What we're going to talk about is I'm going to give you a brief introduction of what IBM Support Assistant is and mainly concentrate on the WebSphere application server add-on to IBM Support Assistant. The third thing on that slide is what we're going to really concentrate on is the automated data collectors that are available in the WebSphere application server add-on currently in ISA. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background of what we are trying to do over here and see if it helps out in your day-to-day activities. What I would also like to give you is a demo of a couple of collections so that you could see what actually does happen in each of the collections, and then I'll take your questions if you have any. Moving on to slide three. For some of you who do not know what IBM Support Assistant is, IBM Support Assistant is a free application that you can download and use it. What it does is simplifies and automates software support and helps customers analyze, resolve questions and problems with IBM software products. The Support Assistant includes rich features and serviceability tools for quick resolution to your problems. I've included a link for the IBM Support Assistant download if you need it, but if you can also just Google it, IBM Support Assistant, and it should show up right away. The graphic over there, what it describes is the major or the main components within the IBM Support Assistant. The first one, find information, like if you need to search some of the search targets like IBM software support downloads, Google, each of the info center links, that's what you would need. And there are also specific links for your particular product. So if you have downloaded the application server add-on in your workbench, you would get to search things like the WebSphere application server, info center, and other things like that. The second is the analyze problem section, which deals with data collection. So the data collection is a part within the IBM Support Assistant where you would come and say, okay, I'm having this kind of a problem. So what do I need to do to before I actually open up a PMR or before I actually call up somebody in IBM Support, IBM Level 2 support? What it does is you would run through a series of steps which will determine what kind of problem you are having, and then collect the logs and traces and things like that for you, which you could automatically include when you open up a PMR or when Level 2 comes and says that, hey, we need these traces from you guys. So this will actually automate everything for you. The third section is the managed service request. A lot of our external customers on the call do know that they have a service request page which they log in regularly to update PMRs and upload documents and things like that. So the IBM Support Assistant provides a one-stop tool for doing all these things. In this presentation today, what I'm going to concentrate mostly on is the analyze problem section, which is highlighted. If you need information more about the find information tab or manage service request tabs and things like that, please contact me offline, and I'll be more than happy to provide you information about that. But the goal of this presentation has been to give you a deep dive on the analyze problem section, especially for us, the application server add-on within the IBM Support Assistant. Okay, going on to slide number four. Let us just briefly talk about IBM Support Assistant and a little bit about WebSphere application server add-on. So when you download ISA, you would be downloading a workbench. A workbench is like a serviceability tool that would be a focal point when you interact within the Support Assistant. So the workbench is built with Lotus Expeditor, And it's an Eclipse-based platform which allows you to do several different things, which includes all the things that all the major three components we talked about before. Now, the Workbench support is only for Windows and Linux platforms. So the question would come up that, hey, what do I need to do if my Vestia instance is running on some platform that doesn't support the Workbench? You would actually have to download Agent and Agent Manager, and then you have to configure a remote agent along with the Agent Manager so that your Agent Manager communicates well with the remote agents. That way, from your Workbench on a Windows or a Linux platform, can communicate with the remote agent, which could be running on, say, some Solaris platform to initiate collections and things like that. The agent manager framework, it leverages the Tivoli SCAS technology, which is the common agent services. So if anybody is familiar with that, all IBM Support Assistant team has done is included the CAS framework within the IBM Support Assistant to, in order to provide remote data collection. Some of the other features for Vestia application server add-on is the Vestia product add-on has support for IGA. IGA is the IBM Guided Activity Assistant, which is like if you it provides you with a series of steps which you can go through, and it will probably give you a better explanation of what kind of a problem you are having. So the IGA could be used at a time when you actually have run into some problems, and you want to know the answer to what kind of a problem that you're having, or it will probably point you to some tech notes or some upgrade or some already existing APR and things like that. That's a very powerful tool that we have, and one of the products that is supported is the Vestia application server right now. So if you download the Vestia application server product add-on from ISA, you would get the IGAA support within there as well. There's also other thing for remote data collection. Besides configuring for agent manager framework, the IBM Support Assistant Workbench provides you with something that we call a portable data collector. So if you have if you only have a console mode configuration on your machine, that runs Vestia instances, what you could do is you could take this portable data collectors onto those remote machines and run collections over there. This just allows console mode collections, and I'll try to show you as to how a portable data collector is created and run if time permits today. Also within the IBM Support Assistant, you can also have several tools that you would basically be using on your day-to-day configuration. So, I mean, that the IBM Support Assistant provides you all the things within one particular Workbench. Some of the tools that you might be familiar with are MDD4J, Log Analyzer, Dump Analyzer, Garbage Collection Analyzer, and things like that. But there are several other tools that, you know, you would find it interesting. Also, I have one of the article on DeveloperWorks, which provides you as to how ISA, the IBM Support Assistant, does data collection. So this is a very good article, and I would recommend anybody interested to go through this article. Moving on to slide number 5, let's take some time off to think about what each of the data collector data collections for the Vestia application server add-on does within the IBM Support Assistant. So one of the first thing is it only supports distributed environment as of right now. Unfortunately, at this time, we do not have any ZOS or ICE's platform support for data collection. We are looking into that direction, but at this point of time, we just don't have ZOS and ICE support. Some of you guys must be familiar with the AutoPD scripts or something of that sort. These are the same collectors. I mean, they could be either be known by automated data collections or analyze problem section within the IBM support assistance or AutoBD scripts. Let me give you a little bit of explanation of what AutoPD is. AutoPD is the engine on which each of the scripts has been executed. So AutoPD engine sits on top of the IBM support assistant, and all the scripts that are executed for the automated data collections run within the AutoPD engine. All the collectors are based on the existing MustGather for WebSphere application server. So you must be familiar with the general WebSphere application server collection MustGather, which is tech note number 1145599. So that has links to all different problem types. So the WebSphere application server add-ons have been made of those MustGathers. The first thing that the user has been pointed out when they initiate collection is, hey, this is like, you know, if you're running a security problem collection, then it would point you out to that this is the tech note for which I'm going to collect for. So if you want to go through that, that's a great place that, hey, I mean, the problem that you're having is security problem, and this is the MustGather tech note that I'm currently collecting information about. The next thing it will probably prompt you for is, where do you want to put all this collection into which file? So at that time, you would probably end up giving up a .zip or a .jar file, depending upon, you know, where you want to go, make sure your collection resides in. So the other inputs that will ask you are, it will ask you which, what is the WebSphere application server home directory. Once you point out to the WebSphere home directory, it will go out and build a static environment kind of a thing. So it will determine what is the worst version that you're having. It will check for profiles if applicable, if you are like version 6 or above, and how many profiles you have. It will see how many servers you have for that particular profile, or for all the profiles for that matter. It'll check for your cells, nodes, whether security is enabled or not. If security is configured, it will prompt you for credentials, and it will store the credentials within the collector. So how the profile and servers are related is, if you have multiple profiles, it will point you to select one of the profiles, and it will only display the servers within that particular profile. So like if you have DMGR01, AppServer01 and AppServer02 within your configuration, and if you just select DMGR01, it's not going to point you out for servers for AppServer01 and AppServer02. It'll only come back with the servers that are configured within the DMGR01 profile. The next thing, depending upon what kind of a MustGather you're running, it'll prompt you like, that this is the trace string and all that I'm configuring for. So you'll probably will have to recreate the failing scenario at that point, that once it sets the traces based on the MustGather you have decided or you're selected for, you'll have to go forward saying that this is the point where the collector script stops, and you have to actually go into your WebSphere instance, recreate the problem. As to however, like, you know, if you're running into a problem while just accessing the admin console or just accessing your application, then that is a point where you would go ahead and recreate your problem. And once you do that, it'll come back and pick up all the logs, traces, and all the other information that will be helpful for the level 2 guy to select. So that's something that is depend upon the customer. Some of the runtime collectors does generate Java codes, heap dumps, garbage collections as needed. So that's another thing within the runtime collectors as well. Besides doing all those things, and you having a zip file or a jar file that has all the collection, just before the end, will prompt you that, do you want to upload all these collections to ECUREP? ECUREP is the repository where IBM stores all customer files for communication back and forth within the customer. So once, if you have a valid PMR number at that point, you can upload you can upload all the data that you just collected with these collectors onto your PMR. So that helps you and you know, taking this collection that you have just done and putting it up somewhere where a level 2 representative can help you out in that. Also, at this point, the last information in there, I would like to point you out that some of the Muscat Attack nodes within the Web3 application server domain have a small blurb at the top saying that you could automate this with the IBM support assistance. So if you see that, that means that, you know, these kind of collections are available from IBM support assistance product add-on. Okay, going on to slide number 6. At the end of a successful collection, I mean, what do you expect to see within the zip file that you had just created? You would see a detailed list and of your environment, like, you know, what kind of profile, cells, nodes, servers, connections, applications, etc. that you have. What that does is that helps the level 2 guy to understand the entire environment at one go. So instead of asking you for, hey, what application is installed on this, how many profiles you have, he would get a whole report like that, so that the back and forth communication between you and the support is eliminated at that point. Also, the tool will run some of the batch files or the shell scripts within the bin folder, something like version report, history report, level report, and all those things will be run automatically in the background for you. So that will be also be included within the collection. If the collection that you selected had tracing and all those information, it will also pick up the log and trace files if and all they're applicable. Some of the runtime or the WAS SDK collection types will have Java codes, heap dumps, garbage collections, and anything. One thing that I would like to point out is within the log and trace file, provided if you have JVM arguments being set, it'll also help you set those within your Rustia instance that you have selected. So the output of that will normally go to native standard out files. So that file is also one of the files that isn't picked up by the collections. Also, it will pick up kind of files like the properties, the security, the service index or XML, and things like that, depending upon which server you have selected during the collection. Probably about it. Once I show you guys the demo of the collection, we'll probably have a better idea about what files and information is being picked up. Okay, so moving on to slide number 7. The tracing module that we have currently within the set of collectors is has a little bit of logic that I have created a logic based on talking with some of the customers, some of the level 2 folks, and instead of this thing, I should probably have a flow chart over here, which I was not able to do, but I'll try to see if I can explain this a little bit more in a flow chart way. What it does is, of course, the tool will determine your server status. So if the server is running, you would probably have two options that you want to set the traces dynamically, which is it'll set the runtime traces, or you want to set the traces, you want to stop and start the server, so the traces will be start up at, traces will set a startup. So the Web3 application server problems does require you to set traces at startup so that they can get information based on the startup trace. If the server is stopped, then it's going to be the startup or the static trace only. So that's those two logics are, you know, sometimes dynamic traces, a customer cannot really restart the server. I mean, you have to have the dynamic traces only. Even if it doesn't really help a level 2 guy, a customer really cannot just stop the server for any particular reason. So that's why the traces, the dynamically traces have been configured. The trace string that is being selected is based on the problem type. So you do not have to actually go ahead and type in anything. One of the most common problems that customer has is setting up traces when they do a copy and paste from the must gather onto the Vault admin console. They run into problems while set up some different traces and things like that. So the automated collectors resolve that particular problem. This will set up the traces for you. It also set the JVM arguments if the MustGather tech node does require that. Also, it'll like sometimes the MustGather tech node doesn't cover up all the components that a level 2 guy would need to see. So it'll also prompt you that do you want to add some new trace string within the existing trace string. So that's also feasible with the current set of data collection. Sometimes the trace.log file, the size and all of it is by default is just 20 MB, and the number of historical traces is always set to 1. So the tool will prompt that you want to set it to 5, the number of trace files to 5 and size of each to 100 MB, so that all the information, this has especially at the startup trace time, that when you know huge amount of information is written to the trace file. At that point of time, it'll actually go ahead and set the traces, and it uses WS admin scripts behind the scenes to do all those things, and then it'll reproduce the problem. Then you actually have to go and say that, okay, now let me try to reproduce the problem so that all the traces will be picked up. Once it is done, we'll try to restore your server state to the original one. So the trace string will be set back to what you had before you started the tool. The number of historical files will be set back to the original ones. JVM arguments, if anything is applied, it will change back to the original ones and things like that. Also, if you had started the server by the tool itself, it will remember that, hey, I was the one who started the server for you, so do you want to shut it down or you want to keep it running for now? If you decide to keep it running, it will still set the runtime traces back to the original one, so that whatever trace string has been set by the server during the problem recreation goes away. That almost about covers it. I think I might have missed a couple of things over here, but we'll cover them once we reach the demo. Moving on to slide number 8. Okay, so here's a list of existing collections that we have currently in the IBM Support Assistant. Some of the collectors that does require traces are in general category. Security administration is where you would see a lot of traces being set, and the connector problem, which involves a lot of JVM arguments and the traces. The runtime does have some traces, but they mostly deal with running WS admin scripts and to create Java codes or the kill arguments to actually kill the process and things like that. So I'm going to try to show you a couple of demos for the security administration and the connector components as of right now. But yeah, if you have any more questions or concerns about the runtime collectors, please do contact me. I'll be more than willing to talk to you about those as well. Moving on to slide 9, I would just like to take a little bit of time to talk about slide 10 for now, Elijah. So the slide 10 talks about what are the things that you can do with ISA besides just running data collection. So ISA is a lot more than just running the data collection bit. So it helps you with product search, information, and ECU rep access. So within the support assistant, you can do multiple things. You can also have your links for all your PMRs through the SR tool. It's consider this as a one-stop shop for all your support needs. If you need anything, this is the only place you need to go for any kind of communication within IBM. It also provides you places where you can work with tools in a much more organized way. And it'll help you in your education. It'll help you in finding relevant knowledge within your products and things like that. Okay, going back to slide 9, I think I'm going to start a demo now. So this is what you will see when you fire up the IBM Support Assistant Workbench. The three main categories we talked about, the Find Information tab, the Analyze Problem section, and the Manage Service Request out there. Let me just go into the Analyze Problem section over here. Now, I have already downloaded the WebSphere application server add-on, so that's already existing. If you are using the Workbench for the first time, you would have to go ahead and download the IBM support, the WebSphere application server add-on. There are four versions of WebSphere application server add-ons right now within on the production side. There are 5.0, 5.1, 6.0, 6.1. So depending upon which version of application server you're using, you would go ahead and download the ones for that. All right. So let me kickstart a security problem collector. So what you would do is you would come over here, you expand the security administration tab, select the security problem, do an add, so it'll show up in the collector queue. And over in the collector queue, you would click on the collect all, which will kickstart the collection right there. It'll also show up the current status tab, in which you can actually see what's happening behind the scenes. The first thing will come up and show you that, hey, you're supposed to run this on a machine where you're experiencing security related problems. So select OK from there. The next thing we'll point you for is this is a general security must-gather documents. If you click over here, it'll probably take you to the security tech node, the must-gather tech node, I mean. This is where it's going to tell you that, you know, where do I want to put all the files that I'm going to be collecting into. So let me just, you would use the browse button and then you would go actually look for the directory where you want to put everything into. So let me select this workbase collection file name. And then I would have to give, say I'm running security collection.zip. Once you select the file name, go and press OK. The next thing it's going to ask you for is your WebSphere application server root. Once the WebSphere application server root, why I have it over, already have it over here is because I have run this previously. So once you have provided a correct input to the tool, it's going to remember for the next time. If you need to change it, you can go ahead and browse again, or you can just type it in here. But I'm just going to select with whatever is has been done over here because I have run this collector multiple times. So all these things, the first time you have to provide something, the next time it'll remember what you had provided in the previous runs. At this stage, this probably takes a while. So what this is doing is determining what kind of a WebSphere instance, what kind of an environment that you have currently. Now, if you at this point, if you had multiple profiles and things like that, it's going to prompt you which profiles you want to select for. Since I just have one profile, it's not even going to ask me. And that one profile has just one server instance, so it probably will not ask me. But if you have multiple profiles and things like that, it's going to go ahead and ask you for all the relevant information. The next thing is going to be, depending upon what kind of problem you're running, like security must-gather requires all these things that will help level 2 analyze the problem that you are having. So it's going to prompt you for all these kind of things. So I'm just going to write something over here. Specific instructions to recreate step A, then step B, then step C. I don't have a test case. I said, no. Say programmatic login, I would say no. The time the problem occurred, and also I would like to point out that it's this is the trace string it is showing right now based on the security mascara that you have already selected. So this is something that, you know, is this is the trace string that is being set to. This is what it's going to show you right now. Now, here's the logic that we have in the tracing module that we had talked about a little bit during the set of slides that we were on. It found out that the server is already running. So you have two options at this stage. Do you want to restart the server, or do you want to, you know, not restart the server? If you restart the server, you're going to do the static trace for this thing. It's just going to set the traces dynamically. So let me just say, let's restart the server right now. So it says proceed with restarting server for enabling trace. So I'm going to say okay. Okay, the next thing it's going to do is it's going to go and find out what your current trace specification is set to. So it'll go and find out what kind of more information that you already have. So it's my current trace specification is set to star.info, and the number of backup files that I have is 1, and the rollover size is 20 MB. I do not have any JVM arguments set in my server.xml. So this thing is all being determined at this stage as to what my existing environment looks like. Now, sometimes level 2 would ask you that, hey, instead of, you know, splat.info and a com IBM WS security dot star equals all enabled, I would also need some more traces. So if you, let me just say yes for now, and I'll go ahead and add some more trace string to this as well. So if you say, if you have selected yes, it's going to ask you for, you know, what's the trace string that, so let me say admin equals all. And of course you have options whether you want to append the trace string to the existing one or you want to replace it. So I'm just going to say I want to append to the existing trace string for the security mascara. So over here it says the new trace string is, you know, whatever we had for the security mascara, and we added admin equals all. Since we have selected to restart the server, it's going to now stop a REST application server. And once the server is stopped, in order to, you know, order to help you out, it's going to say that you want to delete or move all the contents of your log folder to somewhere else. This you would only do it if you want to do it. I would rather not have the script do it for you. So this is something of a manual step. So let's go and try to see if we can remove the contents from the log folder so that we get a fresh set of logs. So all these files I'm just going to delete because the server is not running right now. I mean, of course, you can always move it out to some other location as well. Now, the next thing it's probably going to do is it's going to run WS admin scripts to set the trace specification based on what information we have provided until now. So you see that new trace string sets being done. That's what it's going to be setting it to. The next thing it'll ask you for is, do you want to set the trace files to 5 and the size of each trace file to 100 MB? So let me select yes for now. And this is another WS admin call being executed right now to do all those things. The next thing it is doing, it is starting the REST application server instance based on all the new information that we have provided until now. once it is started, it'll prompt you that, you know, the server has been started. So here's the thing where you would stop the execution of this tool and will actually go and see if you can, you're able to reproduce your problem that you're having to get the trace string. I'm going to go from here for a while onto the WAS admin console, and I want to show you as to what we have actually been able to set at this point of time. So let me open up a browser. So this is my WebSphere application server admin console. Let me go into troubleshooting, logs and trace. Select server one, which is the only server I have, looking at the diagnostic trace. The one thing that I would like to show you over here is the maximum number of the historical files is set to 5, and each of the file size is 100 MB. So that's being done by the script right now. And if you go into the change log detail levels, that will show you as to what the traces has been set to. So once I come over here and say I have reproduced the problem, so this is where it says that, okay, you know, your server was being started by the script. So let's just see if we can, you know, the options provided is stop the server through the scripting tool right now or do not stop the server. If you do not stop the server, it's going to replace the trace string for the static and the dynamic or the static and the runtime trace to whatever was previously. So let's just go ahead and say, you know, stop the server for now. Now it's restoring your server status to the original ones that you had before. So this is the point where you would actually get to see your server XML being modified. And it's also, since you have selected to increase the number of historical log files and the size of each one of them, it's going to restore that to the original values as well. Okay, so this is, the security must gather ask for the collector tool as well. So this is going to be taking a while right now as we speak. So Elijah, can we do one thing and open up for questions if somebody has questions at this time before I, this will probably take about 5 minutes or so, and I also want to run another collection right after this.
Okay, well, so you're going to need 5 minutes to get the demo ready?
No, the collector tool will take about 5 minutes to run, so.
To ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. If you are using a speakerphone, please ensure your mute button is turned off to allow your signal to reach our system. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. We'll take our first question from Jerry Carlin with Bank of America.
Hi, this is not directly related to what you've been showing us, but I've been trying to use ISA for quite a while now, and when I tried to upgrade to 4.0, it broke all of our proxies. So in order to do anything, I have to, you know, disconnect from the bank network on the laptop, download various things, and reconnect. And I've had an open PMR now for quite a while trying various things, including sending traces, TCP dumps and everything else we can think of. We've had absolutely no success. I know there's one kind of proxy that you don't support in 4.0, but I believe the other kind you should be supporting. It certainly is something that did work in 3.5. I'm wondering if anybody else that you've heard of is having this, whether, you know, I can sort of help out the people that are working with me on this by linking some other PMR or what.
Are you working with Courtney on this?
There's a guy, I'm not, the second level person I'm working with is a guy named Alan.
Okay.
Okay.
I think, yeah, I mean, I know Alan Cohen, so I'll, I mean, unfortunately, that's one of the things that I do not know much about, so I cannot really help you out directly on the problem that you are having. What I'll do is I'll review that PMI that you are having, and I'll talk with Courtney, which is who works in the IBM support assistant team, and I'll talk with Ellen to see, you know, where we stand with your PMR.
Yeah, it's, you know, it looks like a beautiful tool, so it's really a problem. I'm going to, should I put the PMR in the chat, or should I email it to you, or what's the best way to get you that?
If your name is in the PMR, I'll find it.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Next, we'll take a question from Chris Krupp with Bank of America.
I'm basically, Jerry just stole my question. I'm from Bank of America, and I also have been unable to make ISO work with 4.0 through our proxy server.
Mm-hmm.
And I opened a PMR. I don't have the number with it, and your support told me to work with our support. I called our support, and they said, we don't support that tool. Called back to IBM. So I'd be interested to hear what we can do to make this work in our environment also.
Okay. I'll take this back to the IBM support assistant team, and we'll try to see if we can work with you guys to resolve the problem. I've heard a lot less problems with proxy than we had at the 3.0 version or 3.1 version of IBM support assistant. So some of the work has been done in version 4.0, but if it is not working for you, then we definitely look into your environment and see how we can help you guys out.
And there are no further questions at this time.
Okay. All right. So the next thing it's going to prompt you for is you want to provide feedback on that. So let me just say no. And the last thing it will ask you whether you want to upload the logs to ECU Rep. I'm just going to go through the options that you have at that point of time. So here's the prompt for that. The first option, FTP the logs to IBM support, what that will do is it will ask you for a PMR number and things like that. That uploads directly to your PMR on ECU Rep. FTP the logs to a different location. Some of the companies that we work with is they do not have option directly to, you know, FTP to an outside server. So what they do is they have an internal FTP site. They put up their files over there, and that depending upon what options they're provided in the FTP, it uploads to the IBM server. So that's particular for this location. Do not FTP will just, of course, you know, I'll select that for now because I don't need to upload this to any of the websites out there. That will probably bring a collection to the end. So I'm just going to go and show you what we actually did collect at this point of time. This is the folder. So this is the file that has been just collected, 11:49 a.m. Let me open this up. So a normal collection, this is how it would look like. It would have three folders, at least three folders. So one of them is like, you know, boss security problem. So this will tell us that, hey, you ran the security problem, must gather. The AppServe01 over here will have the profiles that you had selected. Since we were never prompted for a profile was because the reason being that, you know, I just had one profile. So that's how I only have AppServe01 over here. So let me go into the WAS security problem directory for now. What this has is all the information that you particularly, even we talked about as to what it would collect. Let me show you a metadata.html, the one that I talked about. So this is the file that will show us a real snapshot of your system. I mean, it'll tell you, like, what's the product that you have installed. It'll show you the Java version, operating system. It'll have links for version report, history report, level report, and analysis as well. The interesting bit is all the way down over here. It'll show you the middleware section, the WebSphere instance that you have selected, everything about that, what ID it has, what is the build level, what is things like that. Deployment manager section will be empty because it was not a DMGR. The profiles, it's going to show you I have one profile. The cell section has what is the cell name. The node section is there. Server sections. The connection points, so all the port numbers associated with all the different definitions. All the applications installed onto your machine. All the environment that you have and things like that. So that's something that, you know, will will help us as in a level two team to get a better idea of what kind of problems you are having. It will also have links for version reports. So, oops. So those are all right in here, and that's from the AIM metadata. That's all is providing hyperlinks to level reports and things like that. The collector jar that we just run is over here. So that's the biggest, that's probably about 4 meg. That was the biggest thing over here. And a lot of people have said that we do not need to run collector, but that's one of the things that level 2 has required, that we need to have collector output as well. That's probably, there's another file called TechNode qualifier over here that has, you know, the TechNode number on which this muskgather was based on. Going into the server is where actually all the things are being picked up from. So you would have the log folders and the server one, which is the only server I have. Let me show you the... Alright, so I'll stop here for a minute so that everything is refreshed for everybody of you, and then I'll show you. See the trace? The startup trace specification is specified as to what you had selected for this particular muskgather, and this is where, you know, it is showing you that the server was stopped. So this is by through the tool when you had stopped the server, this is where it would hit. So this is everything that is being picked up right now has been the security traces that has just been configured. System.out will, of course, it will show you that it start up with the security traces. But at the end, it'll tell you that the traces has been changed back to the original ones. Let me find that information out. Well, maybe that was done after the server was dead, so stop. So probably see you by the next startup. Yes, it'll also have the FFTC folders and everything else basically included. The cell would have all these kind of properties files that would be helpful for the level 2 person to help understand your problem, and the server one will have the server.xml and things like that. The properties file will have some of the properties file associated with your SQL instance, and things like that. And the only other AutoPDs, the folder, would have all the log files, which will help us in case you run into problems, to help us see what happened during the execution of your script. Right. So having said that, I would just start the server over here real quick. This time I'm going to run another problem type with the dynamic tracing only. So let's just take a minute while it starts. So the next thing I'm going to run is the op problem. I mean, I know for the op problem there is some setting for the JVM as well, so I'm going to try to run this and show you. Once the server starts up, I'm going to try to show you, you know, what happens with the JVM settings as well. So let me quickly go and look at... So going back into the admin console just to see if the traces have been set up properly. I mean, reset it properly back to the original ones. The file size and the number of files has been replaced back to the original ones. The traces has been replaced, and so has the runtime traces as well. Okay. So I'm going to run the op problem again real quick. Okay, so going back into the workbench, this thing is just going to tell you that you're running the op problem. This will set the traces as well as the JVM generic arguments within your app server instance. So the next thing will prompt you for is, you know, what's the collection file name that you want to use. So we can change this directly over here, or you can retype, or, you know, you can go and browse and look for the directories as well. But I'm going to just change the security to the op collection.zip. The web sphere instance that I have is going to reuse what I already decided on last time. So that's a series of questions that, you know, you're probably prompted by based on the Muscadder. So I'm just going to skip that for now. But, of course, I mean, if you as a customer are providing this input at a time when you already have a PMR open, we would recommend that you would fill it out based on the problem that you are having. Just before we go into the tracing module over here, it's just showing you that, you know, that the trace string that being set to is op RAS equals all, and I'm also be generating the generic JVM arguments which are this. So part of the server was running, so I'm gonna say do not restart the server so that we just collect the dynamic tracing for now. Says, okay, I'll select it. Now I want to proceed without restarting. So I said, okay for that. Next thing it does is looks up for the current trace specification that I have for my existing WebSphere instance. Prompt for additional string, and I'm going to select no for this time around. So it did end up setting the trace specification, and also is now setting the generic JVM arguments over here through WSAdmin calls. If you do recall, the generic JVM arguments were not being set up for the security problem because we did not need that, but now in the op collection, we do need to set the JVM arguments and setting up to that. This time around, we're gonna say no to this just because, you know, we need to probably finish this up real soon. At this time, it's going to come back and say, okay, now everything is, the environment is set up for the collection, so go ahead and reproduce the problem. I'm just quickly going to show you. See this? It says your workspace has been refreshed because we did make a couple of WSAdmin calls through the script. So this time around, we did not end up changing the file size and the number of historical files, but we will see in the runtime tab, we will see that, you know, the op tracing has been enabled. So at this point, things are being enabled. And also, I would like to show you something else. Config files. Cell name, nodes, node name. So this is my server XML right now as it exists. The generic JV arguments is what I want to point it out to you, that has been set as to where it was specified by the script. So that's the only thing I wanted to show you over here. Going back, I'm going to say I have reproduced the problem. So now it will start collecting all the information that has been picked up, and it's going to be restoring all the specifications for the traces, the JVM, and things like that back to the original state. Also, one thing, since we never actually stopped the server or restarted it for that matter, it will not prompt me that do you want to stop the server. So it does remember that the traces were set dynamically, and that's how it's going to be It's always going to be like, you know, making sure that we do not prompt you for stopping the server, which was never started in the first place. So the feedback, I'm going to say no, and the next thing it will prompt me for is, do you want to FTP the logs to IBM, which is also I'm going to be saying no. Okay, so that was completed successfully. Let me go back into the admin console and quickly see if the runtime traces have been disabled successfully. So go to log level details and the runtime. That was finished. That was set back to the original one. Let me refresh this file real quick, which will show that the generic JVM arguments have been set back to, you know, null, which was the original value to begin with. Okay, and I would quickly like to show you what we did end up collecting for the orb collection. That's right over here. Okay, the only thing that will be different for this is the appserv, which is the profile name, the logs, the server. And if you go into the system.outlog, it will show you that the trace was set back to info, and somewhere in between it will show you that traces was set back to... Okay, I'm sorry. It was way up over here. So this is where we did set the trace for the op collection, and this is where we replaced, just because of the fact that we did not do anything in between to, you know, have some op traces being collected, we did not get anything. But if you actually go ahead and recreate some of the problems that you're having with orb, you will see a lot of more stuff in here, which will help level two analyze the problem that you're having. Okay, so that probably concludes the demo that I wanted to show you today. There's a lot more that each of the collections can do for you, but this is the core of it. And I would like to take any questions right now if you have any.
All right, thanks for that demo, Deepak. At this time, concludes the presentation. All the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the Web Series Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on the site in the next day or two. I'd like to say thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Deepak, for presenting today.
Thank you.